Hi, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide. Increasingly manifesting a paradigm of freedom, health, and wellness for all. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. In this episode, we are joined by Dr. Vanija Panika in Western Australia. Panika has been vegan for over 30 years. She is a retired veterinarian and had a small animal practice for about 40 years. We'll be discussing her long-standing belief that preventive health care is through proper nutrition, and we'll be talking about much more. Thanks again for joining us on Vegan Nation. Welcome, Dr. Vanija Panika. Thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you for inviting me to speak.
I'm greatly honored. Let's start out with hearing about your history.
Okay, I graduated in 1975 with a veterinary degree from Bangalore, India. Basically, I've been a vet for about 47 years. I worked at the veterinary faculty in Malaysia for a few years and then opened my own veterinary practice till I retired in 2009. And I've been a vegan vet for about 30 years. Anything more that you want to know, Marlene?
Wonderful. Thank you very much. And I'd like to start out with the big question, and that is the quote, "Together, we vegans will be the change we want to see in this world." And that is your quote, and I believe that. So please, can you tell us more about that?
Okay. Yes, we vegans have been and have to be the change. Change has to happen within us. This is like a soul awakening to realize that we and animals are all living beings with feelings and emotions, and we come under one creator who created us. And as much as we are aware of our emotions, we have to understand that animals are the same. They live with their own, in their own world with their emotions and their feelings, and they have every right to be here. So when we vegans, we have to be the change. We have to be the people who show that we are the change, and thus our change will influence, hopefully influence other people to realize that ahimsa, that's a Hindu word from the Hindu scriptures, non-violence to all living creatures, that should be our, what do I say, our feeling in life, always ahimsa. And leadership is by example, and we lead the way to a better, compassionate world, and we have to feel it with every fiber of our being. That's how I feel, Marlene.
Beautiful. Thank you, Vanija. Yes, ahimsa. And I'd also love to hear more about the meaning of your name, Vanija.
Okay, my name, Vanam, means forest in the Hindus, in the Hindu meaning, forest. And Vanija means actually the girl of the forest or personification of the forest. And it's very funny that, you know, I never attached this to what I feel. I always felt that I like the forest and not the sea. And when I thought about it, I said, oh, my name seems to indicate the same thing, that, you know, I'm a child of the forest and not of the sea.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it's beautiful and powerful. Mm. Thank you.
Yep.
And I'd also like to talk about preventive health care through proper nutrition.
Yes, Darlene. It was many, many years ago when I was a small animal practitioner, and I had all these patients, and I worked in more of a rural practice, so I used to have patients of different species that used to come in, and most of the diseases that they came in with was due to poor nutrition, where they were feeding their own food, anything they would feed, and maybe some of the dogs will be just, or dogs or cats will be feral. They run around in the streets, and we fed them what we thought was right. And even the commercial food that we were giving them, some of them were really not good, and animals were falling sick. We humans do have to think of preventive health care through proper nutrition. And one of the reasons that also led me to being a vegan in the end, because nutrition was so important to health. And that's the only way. And when I say preventive health care, the only thing that will keep us alive and well and healthy is preventive health care through proper nutrition. And when we define nutrition, then we need to think, what is this that we are talking about nutrition? For me, it is whole food, plant-based diets. That's the nutrition that we should have.
Yes, thank you.
And then, of course, when you talk of diets, of course, I do a lot of, searching on YouTube and elsewhere for vegan diets.
Yes. Okay. And how about a tip for those who are not yet vegan?
Well, for those who are not yet vegan, the easiest people that we could convince would be vegetarians. But vegetarians are not really vegans, because the only thing they say that they will not harm animals, but they will wear leather and they will take eggs and they take milk. And these are things I say lay off, because even if you look at it, all those foods are not good for us. We talk of proteins, but we do not need proteins from the animals. We do not need our protein to be processed through an animal to come to us. We can take it directly from the plants that we eat.
Thank you, Vanita. Thank you. And I'd also like to talk about the Cube of Truth, vegan street activism in Western Australia.
Yeah, in Western Australia, the Cube of Truth started about 2017. I was not in Western Australia at that time. I was in Gold Coast in Queensland. But I had friends here who were already actively involved in this Cube of Truth. Well, the Cube of Truth is the only way and the only time that people can be exposed to the horrors of animal cruelty, because we have our participants, those who take part in the Cube of Truth, holding videos in terms of for pigs, for chickens, for cows, goats, lamb, and how they have been so treated. So when people watch this, that's the only time that they get to see what actually is happening in the animal agriculture. Otherwise, it's not at all shown anywhere else. That's the only time. And when you have a two-way conversation with them, there are a whole lot of them who do love animals, but never thought that eating meat was wrong, because they've never seen the cruelty. And some of them, they go into tears, they cry, they get really affected. So that way, the Cube of Truth is one of the, I would say, the only way that you get to interact with people, and people do change, particularly those who have kind hearts, but never knew how cruel it was, the food that they were eating. And I would say they're all senior to me in this Cube of Truth in Perth. It's very active. We do it every fortnight, and we have to get permission from the government. And usually it's done for about 3 hours. Some people do stop to watch and see, and those are the people we approach. We do have people who do shout and scream and say this is bad and children shouldn't be seeing this. But we maintain our dignity and silence all the time. We have to be very, very quiet and silent when they scream and shout. And we should not put them down. It's just an exposure to the truth of the reality of the cruelty in animal agriculture.
Yes, thank you all for your street activism. It's so important. And it is such a mysterious and confusing and irony when some individuals in the public will say children shouldn't see this, and yet children are fed these products, which is animals' lives, our lives, human lives and animal lives are not products, but they've turned them into products in hospitals, in schools, at home.
Exactly, Marlene. Exactly. Yes, I always felt that, you do not want children to see that, but you feed them the products of this violence,
Yes. Yeah. And Vanaja, could you please tell us a little bit about animal exploitation in Australia and also India that we here in the States might not be as familiar with?
Okay, let me start with India first. Now, in India, the exploitation is also in many forms. If you talk of elephants, we use them mostly in temples. They are tied up in chains, and they are, you know, they are used for most of the festivals, you know, elephants. And elephant rental has become a business, you know, that people keep elephants for rental, and it's rented to temples or any other occasion where they need elephants. And it's a very, very cruel act. That is one of the things where they are used. And they're also used in heavy labor, like transport of trees, cutting down of trees, where sometimes they, even their babies are with them. Because the babies are so young, the babies are with them. They're used in parks, you know, recreation parks or parks where you can go for joy rides and elephant rides. Okay. Now, we do also have, we talk of about, if we are talking of camels, they're used in certain states in India as a means of transport, like, you know, a state called Rajasthan, where it's desert, so camels are used. But monkeys are used for entertainment and for begging. And I'm not sure if they're using it for animal experimentation in India, but these are the things. Horses are used for joyrides and horse racing. Well, even we even use donkeys, you know, in those mountainous regions where pilgrims are going up for a pilgrimage, and it's the terrain is too difficult for them to climb because it's hilly. So either they sit on the donkeys, or the donkeys are used as beasts of burden to carry everything that they need when they're going up for prayers. Okay, when we come to Australia, now we have, coming back to India, is also the monkeys are, I mean, the cows are used for leather. Once they're old and of no more use, they are used for leather. So that is some of the things. So when they get old, they're used for leather, or if they are of no more use and people feel bad about putting them down, they're left as strays to wander around in the streets and in the villages to eat whatever they can. When we talk of animal exploitation in Australia, now one of the biggest things we have is live export, where we export sheep and cattle to countries like Turkey and the Middle East, to Pakistan. And we are supposed not to be sending them during the summer seasons, but even that is not being followed. They are sent into, put into the ships, and they put so many of them. They are also crowded in for about 2 to 3 weeks before they reach their final destination, and, you know, hardly having any water and food. Some of the animals are pregnant, they give birth, they die there, and if the animals die on board, they are just thrown over into the sea. And then by the time they reach their destinations, many of them are dead, and they are put into maybe boarding places. And then the cruelty of those animals that are being sent there for slaughter is something that you can talk about it maybe in another topic. So this is our dairy industry. There have been protests. Australia says they're trying to do something. They stop for a while, and then they start it all over again.
We're listening to Dr. Vanija Panika in Western Australia. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. We'll be continuing our conversation with Dr. Panika. And here I'd like to share a beautiful poetry recitation by Monica Aria in England, UK. This is Live Export.
Live Export. One of the purest beings, sucked dry, sold for a price, loaded on ferries, lorries, or any means they find, handed over to anyone who would buy. Travel for interminable times, sometimes on boiling lands, many times tormented waters, always in infernal misery. Days dark as the darkest night, narrow space between slats will not let in a shred of light. Soaked in fuming foul tentacles seep into every pore. Open air of boundless seas refuse to absorb the exuding smells. It lingers forever on the trails streaming behind. From their own pee, they take a desperate sip. Birds on the way look at their babies with exhausted love, knowing they were going to die and tossed overboard. Who wants to carry extra cargo that's not going to fetch a price. The buyer will do whatever they like, cut, strip, hang them until they die. For you to sip your chai in your fancy cup. They were sucked dry for your warm joy. Forced to go on a journey from a living death to death stacked on meat and dairy shelves, poured into cans, cartons, and bottles, wrapped in cellophane, stickers indicating best before date of expired mankind.
You can also hear Monica Arias' poetry. Social media at Outdoor Voices in an Indoor World, Angry Cow Poetry. You tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow, in Worcester, Massachusetts. Thank you for tuning in to Vegan Nation. And now we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Vanija Panika in Western Australia. We're listening to the music of Will Tuttle from his album Animal Songs. This is The Cow Song.
Now we have horse racing, Melbourne Cup, and every year one of the horses, one or two of horses definitely get that. Yeah, heart attack, you know, everything. Now we are, once the horses have been retired, their meat is being sold. And this is something even we didn't know that they had to. They do have some processing plants in, I think, Queensland and some other states where this meat is processed and sold to other countries. We do have greyhound racing. So that is an ongoing process where the vegan activity here is trying to stop that, but not really very successful. We also have duck shooting during seasons and that is something in a state called Melbourne, Victoria, which is so very common. And we do have an MP who is a senator also, I think, who has been speaking on this and trying to get laws to stop the duck shooting. We also have kangaroos where the meat and skin is used and maybe mostly sent to European markets like Germany and France and all that. And they're also eaten in Australia and sold as pet food. And we do have what we call a UGG boots, using sheepskin and kangaroo skin to make these boots. And they are very expensive, high-end boots that is used. When we come to sheep, they are used for wool. And that is something that the vegans here have been protesting. And when we come to pigs, now the pigs, female sows are very severely exploited. Most times the females are put into crates, farrowing crates. They are inseminated, they are put into farrowing crates. And in these crates, if you really look at them, they have no way to move around. They have to sleep or stand up in one position because they can't move around. And their whole life this goes on until the pigs, mother pigs become useless. And then, of course, they're sold for meat.
Yes, it is just so awful. And hopefully we'll co-create a vegan paradigm on this planet. And so many people think that veganism is only about health or the animals. And yet we understand that this is a much bigger picture when it comes to human freedom as well. So could you please talk a bit about the connection between animal liberation and human freedom?
Okay, that's a very, very pertinent question. When a human adopts veganism, veganism has got nothing to do with food, though that is what is promoted and that's what most people think, that veganism is only about food. It has nothing to do with food. You can be a healthy vegan, you can also be an unhealthy vegan. But when it comes to veganism and you adopt compassion, ethics, kindness, love, empathy towards animals, then most of us, it's a soul awakening, as I said earlier, where you realize that you just cannot be cruel. Cruelty is not something that should be in the heart and minds of any human being. And once we do that, and this is because we are doing this for animal liberation. And if all vegans felt the same way, and if human beings could be converted to adopt a vegan lifestyle, then we will say, do unto others as you want them to do unto you. You want everybody to be free and kind, to live your own lives and not to be exploited. And, you know, we don't see that now because we see a lot of people who, you know, with the current global situation, I can be very well assured that none of them are vegans. Because if they were vegans, they would never think they want to dominate or take control of the world. One set of people taking control of the rest of the world. That can never be, because we will be liberated in our mind. And this liberation came about because we felt animals need to be liberated. They have their own life. They have the right to live. And we have no right over them to abuse them.
Thank you, Vanaja. And can you ad lib on that a little bit more in specific to the current global situation with health freedoms?
Yes. Basically, what I feel is, Marlene, that if we had that compassion in us, why would we want to control the world? We would believe in individual freedom being the right of every human being. And if we had that vegan attitude towards other human beings, of course our health will be better. And we will live a more empathetic lifestyle, which is not what we see now. I very strongly believe that if the whole world was vegan, we would not have what is happening right now in the global situation as far as health is concerned and as far as freedom is concerned. Health-wise, of course, we'll have a much healthier world. And where freedom is concerned, we will not step on anybody else's toes.
Thank you, Vanaja. I agree with you. As a longtime vegan, that you've been vegan for over 30 years, and a vegan veterinarian, that you've had a lot of experience of dwelling into the psychic mind of animals and telepathic communication.
Yes.
Can you share a bit of that with us?
When I started my small animal practice, you know, I came into close contact with many kinds of animals because of the type of practice I had. It was more rural than urban. And I was able to look into their minds, their hearts and their souls in a very different way than, you know, just having pets at home. Because they came to me in disease. And when they cure, they go out with healthy animals. And when you have this realization that there's more to them than meets the eye, they have a world of their own with their own feelings and their own emotions, the interaction with each other. I believe that they are more evolved than us because they do not need to go to schools to learn any skills. The Creator has given them all the skills that they need. We human beings have lost that sixth sense because we have become corrupted. They understand the intention of your mind, the thought waves, you know. They understand that because they communicate with each other through thought waves and sounds. They don't speak a language like us. It does not mean they're inferior to us because that's their language. We think we are superior, but I always wondered how superior are we to them. They are so psychic, and that's why I feel they are so much more evolved than us, and we have so much more to learn from them.
Thank you very much. And we're coming to a close in the interview for today. What additional information do you have for our listeners?
One of the things I think that I would like to mention is, you know, they call us omnivores. Initially, if you look at the anatomy and physiology of animals, we are also animals. We are more akin to herbivores than to carnivores. And thus, those foods are not meant for us. And I believe that vegans, we have to be vegans. We have to follow ahimsa. That is the only way for a kinder, more compassionate world.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Vanaja. And is there any contact information that you'd like to leave for those who'd like to be in touch with you?
Well, I'm on Facebook, a social media, but I mean, I do share a lot of stuff on social media, but I believe, you know, like you, when I said animal activism on the streets, the cubes, and that is much more effective. But people do. A lot of people on Facebook have told me they've changed because they see what's happening, you know, they are aware. And the fact that I've been a vegan for over 30 years, given up all food. Well, I must tell you this. My son, when he was a little child, it was so difficult to get him to eat meat or anything pertaining to an animal. And we used to sometimes had to scold him and, you know, tell him you need your proteins. But as he grew older, when he was about 12, 13, he asked me a very pertinent question. He says, "You are a veterinarian. How can you treat them here and go home and eat them?" That really blew my mind. And he said, because human doctors don't eat their patients. And thus, that really made me, I turned vegan overnight, I must say. I said, my God, such a young child. He started his veterinary course, but then he went on into Indian dancing, Indian musical dancing and, you know, all that. But that was what that set me on to feel that, yeah, he's so right. If I'm a vet, I have to be a vegan.
Beautiful. Thank you very much.
It's not easy to post. You can post things, but if you put pictures of animals exploitation, you get blocked for even that. It goes against community standards, you know. Yet the beginning of it is what's on your mind. And if you say what's on your mind, which they do not agree with, then you get blocked.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. It's like the community standards is there to protect the corporations. And of course,
Yeah.
This is the screams of lambs.
I hope, Marlin, that we had a successful interview and it will be an inspiration to other vegans and maybe non-vegans, I don't know.
Yes, I hope so too.
If human beings could be converted to adopt a vegan lifestyle, then we would say, do unto others as you want them to do unto you. You want everybody to be free and kind, to live your own lives and not to be exploited. And, you know, we don't see that now because we see a lot of people who, you know, with the current global situation.
Vanaja, thank you very much. And I look forward to speaking with you again. You're a wise woman, and I'm so grateful for your presence on Earth. For those who'd like to follow Vanaja on Facebook, it's V-A-N-A-J-A. P-A-N-I-C-K-A-R. I'd like to give a big thank you to Dr. Vanaja Panikkar, who is 74 years old and has been a vegan for over 30 years. Much thanks also to her vegan activist friends in Western Australia and India, in the Cube of Truth, Anonymous for the Voiceless. And thank you for joining us on Veganation, everyone. Please join us again next week at the same time. You can also hear this program again anytime at vegansradio.com. And also a special thanks to Monica Aria, the poet, in England, UK. This is Marlene in Massachusetts, wishing you a safe and pleasant day.